Today, Kiwis feeling recessionary while the central bank turns a bit dovish. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, on this post covering finance and property news. Well, if you talk to ordinary Kiwis across New Zealand, it's pretty clear that things are not looking good. We've already highlighted the easing of home prices, and businesses are closing down in many centres. Take, for example, downtown Wellington, New Zealand's capital city, where dozens of empty shops speak of an economic gloom that's pervading the entire country. Retailers are in fact on the front line as households simply do not have money to spend given the current 5.5% interest rate and until now expectations that rates will remain here for the rest of the year. Struggling retailers are the most visible signs of a sag in demand that's hitting multiple industries from manufacturing to construction and real estate. General merchandise retailer The Warehouse Group recently slashed its profit forecast for the year, saying retail across New Zealand is under pressure with increasingly subdued consumer demand. And a gauge of activity in the services sector, which makes up two-thirds of the economy, has slumped to its weakest read since the survey began back in 2007. If the pandemic lockdowns are excluded, then the manufacturing sector has been contracting for about 15 straight months. The Kiwi economy is weak because of aggressive monetary policy, said Jared Kerr, chief economist at Kiwi Bank in Auckland. On the ground, survive till 25 is the mantra we're hearing. It's a white-knuckle ride. And many insolvency lawyers and liquidators are run off their feet, said Kevin Sullivan, a barrister at Port Nicholson Chambers in Wellington. We're seeing a lot more businesses in distress because of the dire state of the economy, he said. We're expecting it to get worse before it gets better. Possibly the latest Reserve Bank release titled OCR 5.5% Inflation Approaching Target Range gives a slight hint of earlier relief. But barring the pandemic-induced slump in 2020, the economy is heading for its worst year since the global financial crisis 15 years ago. True, New Zealand did exit its recent recession with just a measly 0.2% growth in the first quarter, but that could well be temporary reprieve in the downturn that started 21 months ago. As economists predict, the economy will shrink again in the 3 months through to June, reflecting consumer and business confidence in the doldrums as the central bank keeps interest rates high to beat inflation. That would mean contractions in five of the past seven quarters. All this despite strong population growth over the past 2 years due to record immigration. In fact, on a per capita basis, the economy has shrunk for six straight quarters and gross domestic product per person is down 4.3% from a peak in the third quarter of 2022, which is more than a 4.2% fall after the global financial crisis. While still relatively low at 4.3%, unemployment is in fact rising and job ads are significantly down from a year earlier. And the government has also slashed public sector jobs to reduce spending and to rein in debt. That's hitting Wellington particularly hard because it's home of tens of thousands of government workers. Which brings us to the latest monetary policy decision. It read, a restrictive monetary policy has significantly reduced consumer price inflation, with the committee expecting headline inflation to return to within the 1 to 3% target range in the second half of this year. The decline in inflation reflects receding domestic pricing pressures, as well as lower inflation for goods and services imported into New Zealand. Labour market pressures have eased, reflecting cautious hiring decisions by firms and increased supply of labour. And the level of economic activity, including businesses and consumer investment spending and investment intentions, is consistent with the restrictive monetary stance. Current and expected government spending will restrain overall spending in the economy. However, the positive impact of the pending tax cuts on private spending is less certain. Some domestically generated price pressures remain strong, but there are signs that inflation persistence will ease in line with the fall in capacity pressures and business pricing intentions. The committee agreed that monetary policy will need to remain restrictive. The extent of this restraint will be tempered over time, consistent with the expected decline in inflation pressures. So New Zealand's central bank kept interest rates unchanged for an eighth straight meeting and held the official cash rate at 5.5%, but toned down its hawkish rhetoric, suggesting it could ease monetary policy sooner than previously signalled. A range of business and consumer surveys and higher frequency spending and credit data all point to declining activity, the Reserve Bank said. Committee members discussed the risks that this may indicate that tight monetary policy is feeding through to domestic demand more strongly than expected, it said. The comments are a marked departure from the last meeting back in May, when policymakers discussed the case to increase rates further while signalling that a cut was unlikely before the third quarter of 2025. Today's record of meeting made no mention of a rate hike and expressed confidence that inflation will return to the bank's 1-3% target this year. The tone of today's statement is a long way from the misplaced rate hike discussion in May, said Sean Keane, chief Asia-Pacific strategist for DB Drax-Horae. August still feels too early for a cut, but November now feels near certain. It is quite possible that the OCR will be at 4.5% or lower by the end of March 2025. The New Zealand dollar slumped the most in almost a month after the decision, and the yield on policy-sensitive two-year bonds fell significantly to 4.62%, the biggest one-day drop since February. Investors now have fully priced in two rate cuts this year, with a better-than-expected chance the easing cycle begins in August, according to some swaps data. There is now more evidence of excess productive capacity emerging, with measures of capacity utilization and difficulty finding labour easing materially, the bank said. The dovish remarks prompted economists for the Bank of New Zealand to bring forward their forecast of the first rate cut to November from February, with the possibility of a 50 basis point move to kickstart the easing cycle. Most economists do expect the Reserve Bank will more openly acknowledge the case for cutting rates at its next meeting on August the 14th, when it has seen the second quarter inflation and labour market data. If the overall vibe of the data is cooperative, the path to a first cut in November will be considerably smoother, said Sharon Zollner, chief New Zealand economist at ANZ Bank in Auckland, who has retained her view for now that the first cut will be delivered in February next year. Economists at Goldman Sachs sees risk skewed to a deeper easing cycle in New Zealand than priced by markets. The Reserve Bank of New Zealand's latest forecast in May showed inflation falling below 3% in the final quarter of this year, but not returning to its 2% goal until the middle of 2026. Price growth slowed to 4% in the first quarter, the weakest reading in almost 3 years, but a gauge of domestically generated inflation barely slowed to 5.8%. And the Reserve Bank on Wednesday acknowledged that domestic price pressures still remain strong, but said that there are signs inflation persistence will ease in line with the falling capacity pressures and business pricing intentions. So, all up, it does appear that the Reserve Bank of New Zealand's next move will be a cut, although there is a wide range of views on the timing, from as soon as August this year to as late as the first quarter of next year. They will be reliant on incoming data, and we know from previous history data can turn negative quite quickly once we factor in the current higher oil prices and shipping costs alongside weaker net migration as more Kiwis head offshore. In the longer term, it could be that the higher Kiwi rate will pull them through the inflation battle quicker than Australia, where rates are a lower 4.35%, and where there is still talk of a need to raise rates to pull inflation down. At least in New Zealand, inflation is easing for now, but the social and economic consequences of the brutal monetary policy will be with us for years. It's worth remembering that this bout of inflation was inflicted by too loose monetary policy, quantitative easing, and high government spending and debt. As always, policymakers cause the problem, but real people pay the price. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.